this morning. But I want to talk about the fall and the grace of God. I'm going to read from Genesis 3 and the first six verses. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Yea, but God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden." And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that your blessing may fall upon us as we consider the fall of man. We praise you with confidence that you will truly bless us with understanding and humility. We pray also, Father, that your grace may come to us as it came to the first parents who fell into the arms of grace and did not die the eternal death. We ask your blessing upon our discussion. We are, Lord, your people by grace. May we stand in the truth on the rock and behold our God and hallow your name. Amen. Okay, last time we spoke of the truth of creation and of God's highest creature on this earth, man. Different ways, angels are higher than men in that they are these bodiless spirits who are ministering spirits to the sons of God. But in this outstanding way of God being, or man being created in the image of God, man is the highest. And so we just mentioned that briefly last time. Now, however, he falls. And I just read the account of the fall of man into sin, which records the fall of woman into sin, first of all. And that's something that we ought to be talking about. But here, we have a great contrast. Paradise, paradise lost. Here we have perfect fellowship with God, disfellowship with God. Here we have home with God, here we have banishment. And here we have the great beginning of a human race made in the image of God, and a terrible beginning of a fallen human race. We have to come back to this time and time again, because here is, I believe, a pattern of what sin is. All sin. We can learn from this archetype of sin. But also, here's a pattern of the greater grace of God, of which we'll speak presently. Now, who sinned first? That's a good question. We're going through my outline here. And again, I'm just going to go over the history, offer some comments. You can too. But it just gets the basics of what is called here anthropology. Anthropology. Okay. The study or doctrine of man. We've talked about theology. This is a Reformed doctrine class. Study or doctrine of God. But we're talking about man here and the history of man. But let's all remember, we don't leave theology. You never leave theology or you're done. We study man and even his fall. Man as a work of God, and the fall even somehow in the counsel of God. So when we talk about the Christ of God, salvation of God, the church of God, the end times, all these different subjects of dogmatics, we're speaking of the queen of the subjects, the king of the universe, all the time. We are theological. Why? Because God is great and greatly to be praised. So this is, we don't want to leave off this. So always let's, in our conversation, think about God. But anyway, the fall of man. Who sinned first? The devil. And he's not here, except in this form of a snake. But his sin first is not even here. Now there are passages in the prophets, like Isaiah 14, which speaks of a Lucifer who fell. There you have an intimation of the fall of a devil who was once a great angel. Revelation 12 fleshes out the history of heaven even before the fall of man. The devil is said there to have fallen and took a third part of the angels with him. This wonderful history, the awesome history of what happened. And this devil then, who went among the sons of men to get especially the Son of Man, Jesus, and to keep him from doing the will of God. Here, the first Adam is attacked through Eve, through the devil taking on him snake skin. And this is how we have it recorded here. And that's how we have to read this. The serpent is more subtle or crafty or intelligent, hard word to understand here, than all of the creatures of the beasts of the field, which the Lord God had made. That's what we read. But that's the devil. Jesus even speaks of this, I think, in John 6, when he's upbraiding the Pharisees and he's saying, "You're from your father, the devil, who's a liar from the beginning, the murderer of men." So there's clearly here a reference to the fact that the serpent is no ordinary serpent. He is the body, for a while, of the devil. So this is what's happening here. And his sin he would perpetuate among the sons of men, those greatest of God's creatures, human beings. And so he gets his sin to spill out, the sin of pride, the sin of calling God a liar, the sin of denying the word of God, the sin of materialism, sensualism. Adam and Eve became the first sensualists. That is, they went from pleasing God to looking at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and seeing that it was good. They lived by faith. They lived by sight now. So they went from spirit to sense to earth. And all of these things are involved here. And the devil was having his way. So you have a process here. The devil comes to the woman. And I want to submit to you, it's not after we... Okay, the devil sinned first. But after that, it's not so clear. In a way it is. But was it really Eve who sinned first? Or was it Adam? Now, Eve is on the front and center here. But was there something about Adam that he had was letting Eve go or something like that? Now, I know the apostle says that Eve was first in the transgression. That's true. First in the visible transgression. But Adam, after all, gets the blame. Let's always remember that. Anyway, but here we have, and I'm not going to speculate here, but it is important to try to put all the scripture together. The devil comes to Eve. Why? Anybody know? What do you think? Here. Interesting. Never attacks directly. All right. Anybody else on that? Why would he come to Eve? The Kuiper theologian students can talk and everything. Perhaps he senses that she's weaker vessel. That maybe there's a more pronation toward the sin that he's going to offer. Maybe there's something to it, something in the nature of the woman. But again, it's perfect nature. So how can you say that? They're perfect at this time. Or are they? I guess that's the question. Is there something behind this showing of sin that showed that they already had begun to fall before this made it? Yeah, Anna. All right. Well, be that as it may, Before she starts denying God outright and taking the fruit and so on, there's this conversation. The devil speaks to the woman. Some have said that was the sin right there. That was the first sin. She entered into conversation with the snake. And I think she knew right away, I don't know, that it wasn't lawful for her to talk to this snake with horns or whatever he looked like. There's something that was tense about this conversation from the beginning. I think we have to kind of imply that. But again, there's something you can see later. Right away, he says, has God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He puts it this way, as if suggesting God is really limiting you. Woman, you could be a woman of greater potential by far than you are now. Just that commandment. Who's God anyway to tell you what to do? This is the way of the devil. All right? The woman then speaks to the serpent. Do you think that the woman should have said, go talk to my husband? Gaze shaking his head. Yeah? All right? Henry? Okay. Anna's laughing. I don't know what it is. Okay. All right. What do you think? From what we know now, of course, that would have been Christ-like. Interesting. This whole conversation is not appropriate, it seems to me, right? I think there's a lesson for all of our sin here, by the way. Don't talk to the devil. Don't be polite to the devil. Tell him to go away. Don't entertain his questions for a minute. You do that, you're already entertaining sin. You know, you're falling into temptation. Well, we may eat of the woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the tree. She's kind of excusing God here. She's defending God, maybe. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. We don't have any record that God said, don't touch it. Maybe she's adding to the word of God here. Again, we don't know. There's scant information about all of this. Some are dogmatic. God never said, don't touch it. I'm not so sure. Correct me if I'm wrong. Then the serpent outright lies. You're not going to die. What is this? That's a little bit overkill, isn't it? To kill you off because you're just a little thing like this. And God's not making sense anyway. God's just scared, maybe. So, well, the woman, the snake goes on and then tempts her and says, you know, God knows that you're going to be a competitor of God if you disobey God. So the devil is blasphemous right here. And so the woman, end of conversation, the woman just does what the devil says. She's tempted the same thing that tempted the devil. He wanted to be as God. He was disobedient to God and wanted to be as God. Well, there you go. Unhallowed be God's name. Unhallowed be God's name. That's what was going on here. Take it or leave it. And this is so important for us to get. It's exactly what goes on in every sin, in every society, and in every heart, our hearts. Okay, this is our tendency. Well, the sin was, well, all that I said, pride, materialism. You can add to the list, and I'm sure there's a lot to add to it. But there's this positive unrighteousness, and there's this standing against God. All right? And then, as I say here, there's a principle and progress of all sin. But now the effect of it. Man, can you imagine? The effect of it. Adam and Eve died. They did. God's word came to pass. Now here, again, right from the get-go, you have a very important principle. Interpret Scripture with Scripture. God had said, you're going to die. Well, they didn't stop breathing. But they did die. As in Adam, all died, Romans 5. So how did they die? That's the question here. Well, they died spiritually. They who were of the light are now in the dark. They who knew God now didn't know him. They who were friends of God run from God. They're hiding behind the bushes. It's terrible. This is man, fallen woman. Okay? And so Adam and Eve became estranged from God and one another. Here was the first ground for divorce in people's minds. The woman you gave me, the man you gave me. What a breakup. All society, because of that society being broken, was broken. Adam and Eve, the very first principal family, the first family, first lady, first man, they couldn't get along. They started yipping and yapping, and here it goes. So that's the problem. And for them, it was some like to think that now Adam was made the head, and now Eve was put under Adam to be the lowly subordinate. I don't agree with that. I think the headship and subordinate positions were created. And Paul even says Adam was formed first and the woman to be his help. That was there. But now there was tyranny. Tyranny by Adam. And now there was insubordination by Eve. So this is what happened. Feminists, notwithstanding, they have a different view of it. The fall means man became the head, the presumed head. That's not true. Man became the tyrannical head, and Eve became the sassy woman, and the first feminist, by the way. So you have this in Adam and Eve, and totally depraved. This is here. John Calvin wasn't here, but God was here telling us about total depravity. And you read further on of their sins, for example, in the development of sin in Genesis 6, you read that man's heart was only evil continually. This led up to the flood, but it was all there. It was all there. This death of sin and this binding of sin is terrible. And I don't need to instruct you so much in that. I think we all believe on that. But creation, too, became a cursed place, a place of thorns and thistles, a place of all sand, like my hill of a yard, and no dirt. You know, things like that, so that there's no place to grow anything. And when you have a place to grow anything, it takes work. And all the other things that you can imagine in the world, bad, are opened up in the fall. And this is how God speaks of it here later on, the consequences of the fall. The rest of the human race, too, participates in the fall. This is a principle that blows away human beings. How can the rest of us get stuck with the guilt of Adam? It's not fair. But God made Adam to be the head. He made Adam to be the head so that when Adam stood before God, this is God speaking here, and received the condemnation, all of us, little Adamites, bear the condemnation. That's the federal headship of Adam so that we participate in the guilt. His guilt is imputed to us. His guilty account is reckoned to ours. We are born with a bad record. But then, Adam is also the head in the sense that from his loins we come. And so he is the organic head. So his death, not only his sentence becomes ours, but his death becomes ours. His spiritual bondage we participate in. So those two ways are very important to remember. This is the doctrine of the Scripture, how it is presented. We are born in Adam, dead in sins, and guilty, worthy of condemnation. So important for learning of the grace of God and the headship of Christ. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. See, here's another Adam, the second one, who fulfilled the requirements of the law of God perfectly and satisfied the justice of God. Jesus. So All because of his headship, not because of anything we do. So much here in this anthropology, but now greater grace. The five C's. And then we'll talk. Here's how you can remember the main thing. I'm even going to say that. The main thing of Genesis 3. The main thing is not Adam's fall. It's that God still put up with him. More than that. He came to him. That's the first C. He came to him. After Genesis 3:6, their eyes were open, they were naked, they sewed fig leaves, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve are hiding from God, trembling. God comes to them. Now that's grace. That's grace. The first movement of grace by the walking God, or the voice of the Lord God walking, whatever that means. Versus the snake. The snake came to them with disgrace. Or demon. He's a demon. God came and graced them. Then he called. That's the second C. He called to them, hiding in the bushes. Adam. And Adam said, and he said, where art thou? Oh, God, of course, indeed. But where are you? Where are you? In your soul. What are you doing, Adam? It used to be easy to find you. Now you're hiding. So he called him. And by speaking this word, he shows Adam he's not happy. And Adam says, I was naked, I hid myself. And God says, who told you you were naked? Talk about innocence lost here, Adam. Yeah, right. And on and on. Then he excuses, the woman you gave me. This is what we men do all the time. Oh, God, the woman you gave me. And then the woman blames the man you gave me, in so many different ways. The blame game. But God's calling them to see how sinful and foolish they become. So he comes, he calls, well, then he clothes them. Another C. All right? They're hiding behind fig leaves. He clothes them. I believe we may have a picture here of clothing them with righteousness. Righteousness of Christ. That's how some reform take that. Then, of course, he gives this wonderful promise to the snake addressed in Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between me and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. God speaks to the snake, and the snake is promised that he shall die. And he says, you're not going to get my children. That's what God says. Devil, you thought you won? You're not going to get them. I'm going to put a separation between you two. My people will not be lost to you, my chosen ones. This is what he's talking about here. I will make war. I will do this. I will put enmity. So he promises, well, and it's all in the Christ child. He promises Christ. There shall be a seed of this woman who's going to crush your head. That's Jesus. And the Bible speaks of this throughout. He's the seed of the woman. He's the seed of Adam. He's the seed or of Abraham. He's the seed of David. He's the child of God. Finally, that's four C's, Christ's promise. Fifth is he casts them out of the garden. I find here grace. He says you can't live here anymore because I don't want you to live forever in this garden. I want you to live forever with me by grace in heaven. So there's God is, he's leading them here on a better way even. And I think that this, they're going to taste and see that the Lord is good who forgives sinners and who holds pilgrims on their pilgrimage to heaven. All right, that's, and I find here Mother Grace, just like sin, Mother Sin, pattern of us. This is called the Mother Promise, by the way. Dutch, what is it? What's the Mother Promise in Dutch? There you go. All right. The Moeder Belofte. If I ever try to do that off the pulpit, one of you Dutchmen will always say, Domini, you didn't really say it right. You know. But, so I don't try that hard. But it's the Moeder, it's the Mother Promise. It's beautiful. And the rest of the scripture is the unfolding of the promise. And I try to teach my catechism students, look at all of history in light of that promise unfolding. And the light of the conflict. There's a great tension between the seed of the woman and the seed of the snake. All right, any discussion on anything? And then we'll let you go by in 3 minutes. Anything underneath there or in your head? Andrew. Definitely. Next question. I hate mosquitoes. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I'm that, wondering how much of it,
good. Prophets, priests, and kings. What do you think? Like this. Did lions get teeth after the fall, or did they start chewing as well? Attacking. I'm going to ask Harry later because Henry right now.
You certainly have an indication where there's been a peaceful kingdom driving
All right, Harry. Everything in creation is against us. Yeah. Interesting. In Christ, all things work together. All things work together for good. It's another aspect of the fall. The creation now is in an antagonism with man. There's conflict here. So, yeah, I think that all of this, it's hard to explain, though. How can there be these things in creation that became parasites or became carnivores and all of that? They weren't before? How can we understand that? I think it's as hard to understand, though, as Isaiah 11 that Henry alluded to, how they will not be that way in heaven. So we have problems on every side, but God's answers too. But Harry? Oh, good. Yep. Right. This another this cursed creation and so on is so that we don't trust in the creature. Exactly. Okay. God's grace in this. Okay. Anyone else on anything here? Yeah, I've had it. Okay. What do you elders want to answer that one? Yeah. Point. But I can see the brothers and Kathy. I can see the question is, how could you even know that there's a threat is? When you're in the perfect fellowship of God. I think there might be something, though, in that tree of the knowledge, the forbidden fruit. But anyway, Kathy? Oh, good. Okay. Think about that. There's another picture of Christ thought to be here. Blood needs to be shed for these fig leaves to give place to clothing of animals. I didn't even mention that. Appreciate it. Henry. Good. And I think again that it's always been that there's enjoyment with God in this time and place of earth, in the way of contrast. Enjoy God, and here's the opposite, like obey God, but don't take that forbidden fruit. It's never been perfect here, the perfect. It's always been temporary and even temporary perfection. So it's heaven will be the final resting place for all that. But folks, I do want to let you go. This is, I think, worthy of a lot more discussion and Pandora's box and all this stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of misunderstanding about all this stuff. So, but let's pray again. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you teach us. You teach us pilgrims to be holy and humble, but also happy. We've been given so much. You've come to us in grace, and we deserve nothing but death. You come to us because there's another Adam, even your Son. Thanks, Lord. You've made us teachable and willing students, and we thank you that in this class, too, we could participate in a discussion of the church and marvel in the truth that unites us in Jesus. Hear us for his sake. Give us a great day of rest in you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So we've added truth of the fall and grace to our ship. Heavy is this ship with doctrine.